the Jack Parr Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Keep your eye on the red bullseye. Yes, keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike.
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
American.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and fine tobacco is what counts in a cigarette.
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
And fine tobacco means real deep down smoking enjoyment for you.
So keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike.
And smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
From Hollywood, Lucky Strike presents the Jack Parr Program with Trudy Irwin, Jerry Fielding in the orchestra, yours truly, Hi Averback, and starring America's new young humorist, Jack Parr!
Thank you very much. This is Jack Parr. Hello, and if Ernest Bevin is listening in from England, this is not the pot of gold. Mr. Bevin is so anxious to get American money, he may go over the head of Congress and take his problem direct to Gabriel Heater. Another item in the news this week is that the cost of living has reached an all-time high. Food is so expensive that the only way to get your dollar's worth today is to eat money. Speaking of money, Jack Benny returns to this program in 3 weeks. Jack portrays himself on his radio show as a likable cheapskate. That is not true. Actually, he's a lovable old miser. This morning's paper said that NBC had barred all crime and mystery programs from children's ears by only permitting them to be heard after 9:30 at night. Now kids will go to bed early. They'll go to bed early so they can get up by 9:30 to hear the crime and mystery program.
Say, Jack, what's this I read in the papers about Eddie Cantor doing his radio show without any scripts this coming season?
Well, it's true, Hi. All the actors are going to memorize their parts, and the musicians are going to memorize the music. The announcer's going to memorize the commercials.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea, Jack. Say, why don't we do that on this program?
Well, Hi, supposing we didn't use any scripts and everybody depended on memory. I think it would sound something like this.
I forget the name of the company that makes... the product eludes me at the moment. Presents the Jack... Benny program?
No.
Jack, Carson?
No.
The Ripper? Oh, what does it matter? Here he is, Jack somebody or other. Take it.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and, gentlemen. I have a very funny joke I've just memorized. Let me see. Oh, yes. Announcer.
You calling me Corliss?
The name is Jack. Say, who was that lady I... who was that lady I... seen you with? Or did you see it?
No. Jack, you're supposed to say, who was that lady I seen you with? And I say,
Yes? We're waiting, Gabriel.
My name is Corliss. Look, I don't think that I...
Well, if we can't think of the joke, let's make it a dramatic program. Don't send that boy to prison, Tom.
Well, that's it. That was no lady. That was Tom.
Oh, no. Play, Jerry. Play something from memory. Now here's Jerry Fielding, our young arranger and conductor with Fine and Dandy. As we've said before, Jerry is a handsome fellow with more hair than he knows what to do with. Last week, Jerry got a Tony cold wave. It was such a big job that Tony is still in there waving. Maestro?
Wonderful, Jerry, wonderful.
Little known people who mean absolutely nothing.
Friends, many little known people are women. We have women taxicab drivers, women steeplejacks, sometimes called steeplejanes, women barbers, and even women traveling salesmen who incidentally tell some great stories about the farmer's son. In many families... Anybody like that? Do it again. In many families, women are the breadwinners. They have to win it. It's too expensive to buy. Our guest tonight is a little-known woman, a lady wrestler. She is Mrs. Veronica Popchuk, but you wrestling fans know her as Poison Popchuk, the Silver Mask Tree Toad, the lady with the suction feet. It's my pleasure to introduce a woman who has muscles where she should have bustles, Veronica Popchuk.
Thank you, Mr. Parr. It's sure nice to be here. Of course, I'm a little nervous, all these people.
But you're a wrestler, Mrs. Popchuk.
Yeah.
You've appeared in front of large audiences before.
Yeah, but this is the first time I ever did it with all my clothes on. Would it bother anybody if I stripped down to my tights?
Well, I wouldn't. This is a coast-to-coast radio program. We might embarrass Boston. Oh. Tell us, Mrs. Popchuk, whatever made you become a wrestler?
Well, it all goes back to my childhood.
It must have been about 300 fractures ago.
Yeah. You see, dearie, I was a very strong kid. I found it out one day when we was playing tag, and I tagged little Jackie Douglas.
What happened?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The autopsy revealed.
I suppose you began training for your career at an early age.
No training. I just worked around my father's blacksmith shop.
Oh, you helped your father?
Yeah, when the shoes was ready, I used to hand him the horses.
Well, a woman's work is never done, I suppose. Mrs. Popchuk, do you remember your first wrestling match? Oh,
I'll never forget it if I live to throw the bisco. It turned out to be a fiasco. I was disqualified for using a Nelson on my opponent.
A full Nelson or a half Nelson?
I hit him with Ozzy.
I can see you're a fun-loving girl. Now we've heard about Mrs. Popchuk, the man. What can you tell us about Mrs. Popchuk, the woman? Is your husband a wrestler?
Oh, sure. You must have heard of him. Handsome Harry the Maniac.
Certainly. He's the heavyweight who wrestles in a beard and a beret. Mm-hmm. Did you two meet professionally?
Yep. I was matched against him in the semifinals at Cleveland. Oh, you should have seen it. Right off in the bat, I grab him and get him in a toe hold. Romance was the last thing in my mind as his face slowly turned purple.
Is that when you fell in love with him?
No, it's when he wiggles out and gets me in a headlock and throws me into his scissors grip.
And you knew it was romance?
Yes. Instead of breaking my back, he twisted me into the shape of a heart.
Oh.
And you know, a week later we was married. By a very dignified referee wearing gym shoes. Oh.
I know you must be very happy because you sound like a couple of grand guys. Tell me, where'd you go on your honeymoon?
We spent two heavenly weeks at Stillman's gym.
It must have been heavenly. I can still smell that Sloan's linen.
Yep. When we got there, Harry was so romantic about it that he wouldn't let me walk in. He just kissed me once and threw me over the threshold.
Well, thank you very much, Veronica Popchuk.
Thank you, Mr. Parr, but say, ain't you going to make that announcement?
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, this coming Monday at the Legion Stadium, one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time. Veronica Popchuk, in a grudge battle to the death, meets her mortal enemy, Dolores the Doberman Pinscher. The match begins at 8 o'clock, but the stadium will be open at noon. So come early and watch the rehearsal.
Keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and fine tobacco is what counts in a cigarette. American. Lucky Strike presents The Man Who Knows.
Mr. Frank Brown, independent tobacco warehouseman of Stoneville, North Carolina, has attended thousands of tobacco auctions during the last 25 years. With a lifetime of tobacco experience to his credit, Mr. Brown recently said,
"Season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine, ripe tobacco. Tobacco you just can't beat for smoking quality."
And that's not all, for as Mr. Brown also said,
"I've smoked Luckers myself for 29 years.
And as Lucky Strike smokers say,
that's my kind of a cigarette. Real smooth smoking."
Keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike. And remember,
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike.
I'm still worried about the housing shortage. Like most veterans, I'd like to build a house, but everything is so expensive that even the hermits are living together. There's only one thing left to do, and that's to build underground. There are a lot of advantages to living and having a home underground. Look at the money you'd save on awnings alone. Another advantage to living in an underground house is that when you die, they don't have to bury you. They just close the door. I wonder what it would be really like to be living underground. It could be something like this.
Oh, darling, I just love our little bungalow under Looking Lake. But it's so musty in here.
Well, I'll open a window and let in some fresh dirt.
What have you been doing?
Well, I just put a new glowworm in the sun lamp. The last glowworm blew out, you know.
By the way, dear, where's Junior?
Well, he's upstairs in the basement playing with a gopher. Don't forget, dear, we have a date next Tuesday to attend a protest meeting. All the underground tenants are meeting under the palladium.
Oh. Well, what's the meeting for, dear?
We got to make them stop that dancing up there. Look, dear, I brought you something to wear, a corsage. I picked it myself.
Oh, darling, how beautiful. Ruth. But, honey, I still want to move to the surface again.
Ah, you're always nagging. When we were married 10 years ago, this was a tunnel of love. Now it's just a tunnel.
Well, if that's the way you feel, I'm going to dig my way to John L. Lewis and get a divorce.
What's John L. Lewis got to do with the divorce?
Down here where we live, this is union trouble.
And now it's time for our young singing star, Miss Trudy Irwin. Trudy began her singing career in a nightclub but had to give up that kind of work. You see, she would always pour her heart out when she sang. This made the dance floor very slippery. Here she comes now in a top hat, white tie, and a long dress. Sing, Trudy.
Yes, it's a good day for singing a song, and it's a good day for moving along. Yes, it's a good day. How could anything go wrong? Good day from morning till night. Yes, it's a good day for shining your shoes, and it's a good, good day for losing the blues. Everything to gain and nothing to lose, 'cause it's a good day from morning till night. I said to the sun, "Good morning, sun, rise and shine today. You know you gotta get going if you're gonna make a showing, and you know you got the right of way, 'cause it's a good day for paying your bills, and it's a good day for curing your ills. Deep breath and throw away your pills, 'cause it's a good day from morning till night." Good morning, sun. Rise and shine today. You know you gotta get going if you're gonna make a showing. And you know you got the right of way. Cause it's a good day for paying your bills. And it's a good, good day for curing your ills. So take a deep breath and throw away your pills. Cause it's a good day, a good day. Good day from morning till night.
Thank you, Trudy. Friends, the new school term is well underway, but I've been informed by the Board of Education that many of the pupils have not returned. And frankly, I'm worried. Where are these children? Are they hanging around the pool room picking up bad habits and $40 or $50 a week? Are they sick of school? Are they tired of the same old faces and have gone down to the burlesque show before the price has changed to see Peaches McSweeney? Peaches does the dance of the seven paisley shawls. She's 86 years old, of course. I think it's a very serious problem, kids not going back to school. I think school should be made more attractive to them, sold to them, for instance. Maybe school should have radio commercials like this.
Children, have you tried the seventh grade? Kids, are you getting tired of the sixth grade? And you girls with a boyfriend in the third grade, does the little tyke make you psych? Then come to the fourth grade where men are men and we serve hot lunches.
That's more like it. Modern education. It wasn't like that when I went to school. They were so mean to us, we had to learn to read and write. They were cruel to us, too. Arithmetic.
Say, Jack, what else have you in mind to make school more attractive?
Well, in the PAR plan, we have something for the high school boys.
What?
High school girls.
But, Jack, high school boys don't even think about girls.
You'll have to pardon Mr. Averback. When he was a baby, his mother dropped his head on him. And now to get back to my plan.
Excuse me, please. I have to catch a bus.
Not at all. Now, hey, wait a minute, Sonny. Do you go to school?
Well, no. I quit when I was in the seventh grade.
Well, you're just the kid I want to talk to. Now, look, you don't know what you're missing. We're going to have quiz programs in school so the kids won't feel they're just wasting their time answering those questions. Listen, kid.
Children, our little quiz program. Take it or we'll jam it down your throat. little Georgie Foster, who discovered America?
Columbus, Ohio. Where's my refrigerator?
It's in the mail. Now, Jackie Parr, who discovered America?
Columbus, Ohio. Where's my refrigerator?
It's in the mail. Now, Peaches Sweeney, what keeps things cold?
A refrigerator. Where's my Columbus, Ohio?
It's in the mail.
So you see, kids, what a treat you have in store for you if you go back to school. See what I mean, Sonny?
Listen, I gotta catch a bus.
Now, you stay here and you listen. I've got some wonderful ideas. The most eminent teachers of languages will teach you to speak the most difficult tongues in the shortest possible time. For French, we have Professor Rudy Lapay.
Jean Valjean, à la mode, petit pain, chapeau avec fromage de France décroché en voiture.
Professor Hans von Conrad to teach you German.
Guten Tag, Freiwachting, Gesellschaft, Marillenknöden, Kulissenreiche, zusammengekaut und ausgestuft.
Professor Boris Gregorvatsky to teach you Russian.
Sovietsky, Boyets, Karakum, Rubashki, Pirajok, Stenkaros, and Pajalos, Katushka, Stotakoi.
Professor Gung Ho to teach you Chinese.
Chinese is very difficult.
Not only will we teach you things to do with your head, we'll teach you how to do things with your hands.
Attention, all high school young men. How to build a hot rod car. Steal the rod.
The The PAR plan goes one step further than any other similar school plan. We teach you romance.
Lesson one, how to kiss.
The simple or no fun kiss. The Peaches McSweeney or Lookout Mountain kiss.
Look out!
Then we have the Lost in the Swamp or Chloe kiss. Last but not least, we have the Rip Van Winkle kiss. As you remember, Rip Van Winkle slept for 20 years and had a long white beard. When he came back, he was an old man, and he met his girl, who by this time was an old woman. She kisses him and swings on his beard at the same time. So much for romance.
Listen, I gotta catch my bus.
There's just a little more, and you'll be learning a great lesson, and you'll want to go back to school. So stay and be quiet.
Jack, I have an idea. You know how crazy all the kids are about those mystery programs that are on the air? Or maybe they just love school if it was sort of run on that same basis.
An excellent idea. Remind me to have you thrown off the program. You're getting too powerful. Ladies and gentlemen, if high school were like a Philip Marlowe or a Sam Spade mystery, we think it would be something like this. My name is John Parr. I'm principal of the Dead End High School, located on the moors in the San Fernando Valley. I could tell it was the San Fernando Valley because all my clothes were made that way. One day, while sitting in the principal's office, I heard a sound. Recess. My job as principal of the Dead End High was dull enough until one day the door opened and she came in. She walked up to my desk. Would you mind closing the door? Thank you. Just who are you anyway?
Selma Thompson. The new gym teacher.
Would you mind opening the door?
I just dropped in to tell you I'll meet you later at the gymnasium.
Fine. Bring something round. We'll have a ball. Selma and I fell in love. That is, I fell in love with Selma. But my jealousy almost drove me insane. Every time I would see her with another man, I would blow my top. I even grew insanely jealous of the pupils. At recess, I would stand at the window of my office and pick off a few with my high-powered rifle. From 1,520 boys, there were only 12 left. Mothers began to ask questions.
Where's my Freddy?
Where's my Herman?
Where's my Rufus?
Where's Hollywood and Vine?
I was in a spot and I knew it, but every time I heard her say,
I'm Selma Thompson, the new gym teacher,
I'd knock off a few more kids with my rifle. Soon there were no more kids left. When the mother started asking questions again, I told them the pigeons had carried them off. But then the pigeons started asking questions. One day I could stand it no longer. I asked Selma to marry me. She laughed at my face. Ha! Covering me with shame in a fine spray. Well, Selma's gone now. She ran away and married a wealthy... I'm sitting here in the principal's office once again. Everything's fine at the school. I don't have to worry about losing my head again because...
I'm Joe Thompson, the new gym teacher.
There now, Sonny, aren't you glad you stuck around? You saw how exciting school can be. Now, are you gonna go back to seventh grade?
No, I gotta catch the bus and go to work. I got a wife and three kids under the GI Bill of Rights.
What?
Yeah, I joined the Marines at a very early age. So long, Max.
But...
Herbert! Come on, teachers!
Incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation is facing a crisis in its present school system. Schools are understaffed, classrooms overcrowded, buildings and equipment inadequate and deteriorating. And sadly enough, teachers' morale is being undermined by poor conditions. Why not find some to join in and work with local groups actively seeking to improve educational conditions? Demonstrate that you appreciate the vital importance of the teacher's services to your children, to your community, and to yourselves. For it's our teachers who mold our nation's future. Thank you.
Jack Parr will be back in just a moment, but first, keep your eye on the red bullseye. Keep your eye on Lucky Strike.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Lucky Strike presents The Man Who Knows. Mr. Dewey Huffines, ace tobacco auctioneer of Reidsville, North Carolina, sells an average of 10 million pounds of tobacco a season. Recently, he said,
"Season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy tobacco that's mild, ripe, and mellow."
Year after year, experts like Mr. Huffines, the impartial authorities of tobacco quality, can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. So,
keep your eye on the red bullseye.
Keep your eye on Lucky Strike. And remember,
L-S-M-F-T,
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Tune in next week to the Jack Parr Show with Trudy Irwin, the Paige Cavanaugh Trio, Jerry Fielding in the orchestra, and yours truly, Hi Averback. Jack Parr is under contract to RKO Studios, producers of Magic Town, in which Jack Parr does not appear.
I could have been in that picture, Hi, but my voice was too deep.
Well, who got the part, Jimmy Stewart?
No, Jane Wyman. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget, friends, for the Thompson Radio Entertainment, set your dial to NBC Wednesday night for that thrilling newspaper drama, The Big Story. And on Saturday night, don't miss Your Hit Parade with Doris Day, Axel Stordahl, the Ken Lane Chorus, and starring Frank Sinatra. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.